and take us back into Deuteronomy and a scripture that spoke to me here a few weeks ago, and it seemed to fit very well with some things we need to talk about as a congregation. And I'm wondering if we've been listening and learning and growing during all of this time that we've been listening, 1 John. And some of you have missed some of the sermons. We've got them out there. They can go back you can start listening to those in the very beginning. 1 John has gone through a lot of different things of theological elements, and where we are right now is in a chapter 4. We're talking about love. And again, I want to pause and make sure, where are we? Are we learning and are we growing? And a lot of us think we are. And in love, we think we're pretty good at it. So I'm going to ask you to pause and just think about that today. Are we really growing? Or are we getting good at loving others? Let's go to the Lord in prayer and then we'll get started. Thank you, Father, that you've given us such great praise songs today. They've spoken to my heart and just given me an ability to praise you, for your name is great, it's awesome, it is above all names, it is worthy of our praise. We thank you for that. We do thank you for the prayers that have been answered. For those who are struggling this week and discouraged, God had asked that you would encourage their hearts today in your word. Show them how much that you love them and care for them. God, for all of us, we thank you for the opportunity to open your word, and I pray that you would speak through me to show Christ and to show that love that you've shown us and that we should reflect back to this world. I thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to make a note of this verse. It's not in your notes, and you have a bulletin. You can make this note of a verse I want to go through first to begin this. Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 to 46, and you can turn to that in your Bibles. It'll also be on the screen behind us. I'm going to go in a direction here where you're going to notice that it's in those occasions when it's difficult to love. That's what we want to talk about today. And Jesus is speaking, this is part of that Sermon on the Mount and the series in here, where he is changing a little bit of what you might consider how we think about things. And listen to this. He says, "You've heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." And that's true. It was a statement made in the Old Testament. "But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same?" We dove right into it, didn't we? It's asking the question, if we say that we love God, and 1 John, we're talking about that, if we say that we love God and we hate our brothers, is the love of the Father really in us? And I want to take it to this place here where Jesus is saying to love your enemies. It's difficult to do that. And that's one of those areas I'm concerned that we think that our enemies are just those people who we consider the ones who are coming in and persecuting. And we have this image of what that enemy looks like. My concern is that we can find it relatively easy to love someone when they're easy to love. It's a person who's lovely, and we find it simple to do that. But what about when our spouse is grouchy, okay? Do we ever get grouchy in our families? Now, you might not think this is an enemy situation, but this is something we treat them as an enemy. Or maybe you've been very distant, or you've had a relative that's very distant, one of your children, or your wife or your husband is very distant, and they might even be pushing you away, and you have this separation between you. A relationship with your daughter or your son, and they've left home, and it's become discouraging because you've felt that drift, and they've been gone. That might not be what you call an enemy, but we might treat them that way. And so when we look at this verse, Jesus said that those who hold anger for a brother are liable to a judgment, just like a murderer. And if we hold anger for someone in our family, we're just like a murderer. The translation in this passage of being angry, in the verse where Jesus says, if you hold anger for your brother, it's talking about that ongoing, lasting anger for you have for someone. And it may be something that's been sitting there in your heart that's eating at you for a long time. And it's just there, and you can't seem to get rid of it. And it causes you to, in other words, treat them as an enemy and not love them, as John says. I was looking for illustrations for this, and I was thinking about this, and God kept prodding me that it's my own life that I've done this. So I have to give an illustration from my own life. And my kids were small. They would do things that would upset me and cause me anger in my heart. And if many of you are this way, what you do is you draw back and you stew on it and you just treat them differently outwardly. Maybe certain ways that you react to them is different. The way you say things is different. And you try to get through and you keep doing things, but there's something there that's just, there's a barrier between you. A good thing is that as I got older, no, I kept doing the same thing. They get to be a teenager and they would do something that I didn't like and I would draw back and I'd be angry with them. Thankfully, God has worked in my heart as they've grown older to ask God to forgive me for that kind of anger in my heart and to love and care for them regardless of what they do. And so as God has helped me through this, I want to see if God help you through that as well. If you're in those situations where you've drawn away from somebody and it's caused that struggle in you, God can change that in you. He really can. Today I'd like to take us through two passages. One is Deuteronomy 7, and then we're going to go into Colossians 3. But first, let's go into Deuteronomy 7, verse 6 through 9. And we're going to see how God deals with those who are tough to love. Our kids, our husbands, spouses, friends, sometimes they're just tough to love. Those situations come up, and I want to see how God does this. And then how we can do the same thing on a daily basis for those that God puts around us. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6 says this. For you, and he's speaking to the nation of Israel, you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession out of all the peoples who are on the face of the earth. It was not because you were more in number than any other people that the Lord set his love on you and chose you, for you were the fewest of all the peoples. But it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the house of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. The context of this is where Moses is speaking to the people of Israel at the end of his life, and they're on the verge of entering into the land that God had promised them to enter into. They'd wandered for years in the desert, and now they're about to enter in, and Moses is resetting everything for them, restating the laws that God gave to them. He gave them the Ten Commandments, and in Deuteronomy, he does that again at the end. He wants to remind them of the things that God had said they need to do. When they enter in the promised land, these are the things I want you to do. And so Moses, in this context, is reminding them to be faithful to this God who had brought them out of this bondage. when you go into this land, you're going to be challenged with all kinds of difficulties, and you're going to be approached by people who want you to follow their gods. Don't do that. And Moses is very stern in this. He begins this chapter by telling them they're going to enter this land that's filled with people who are mightier in number and greater than they are. And you can imagine, I've looked at this, and if you read in the scriptures where it talks about the numbers of people in Israel by this time, there's probably almost 2 million people with kids included and servants. And that's a mighty nation in my sight. But that's not where they started, and there are nations that are bigger and mightier than they when they're going to this land. So what do? They need to follow after the Lord. In these verses we just read, you'll notice one glaring theme, that God, it says, chose you to be a people for him. He chose to love them. In fact, God chose this way back with Abram, this wandering family. Abram, who was at this point married but had no children. There was no big family here. In Genesis 12, he says, I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. And God had chosen this man, Abram, not because he was great, not because he was mighty. He had no direction. And God made a promise to him and gave him purpose that generations would be blessed by him. And as we know, the lineage of Abram reaches Christ. And that certainly has blessed the world, hasn't it? God has always been one to pick up stray and wandering people who need some direction in life. He needs to clean them up. He finds them. And even though we're ordinary people, he makes things extraordinary. That's what God does. He did this with the people of Israel, beginning with Abram. He sets him up and his progeny apart from all the rest of the people on the earth. Why? Was it because his family was great? No, the scripture says it wasn't. But because God had placed his promise on him, and he had loved him. It says in verse 7 that God chose him. The word chose here is quite significant. And if we need to read this carefully, it says this, that I have chosen you. It means that he could have picked someone else. The word does mean choose. But he didn't. He had a perfect plan. And he chose to love this people because he had made a promise. And even though the heartache and the difficulties he was going to face with this people, and he's going to receive a lot of heartache from this nation of Israel, but he chose to love them anyway. And that's the God I serve. And it doesn't say that he only loved them. Don't misunderstand that. And in this instance here, it says he chose them for his purpose. He loves the entire world. John says, for God so loved the world that he gives his only begotten son. It also says in 2 Peter that God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But God had a special purpose for this man, Abram, in his plan. And you might wonder why God didn't pick someone else with more authority, maybe a bigger nation. But by the world's standard, he picked the wrong person. There were kings with kingdoms underneath them and authority that they could show the power of God, but that's not who God chose. By the world's standards, maybe so. But we should not follow the world's standards when we choose and when we love. He loved Israel because he wanted to. That's about it. And he saw beyond the externals, all the big numbers that we might see as this world and what the world thinks is important to us. Jesus himself loved the unlovely. Those we might avoid because they do and say things that are filthy and cause us to cringe sometimes. Jesus loves those people. And those are the Those that are enemies of Christ, he even loves those. The chief priest who was there at the accusation of Christ, he loved him too. So we're called to do the same thing. All around us, we have people to love, in our families, our friends, those we meet. But I want to start at home. That's always the most difficult place to start anyway. Let's start at home. How do we love at home? Is your spouse or one of your kids or your parents or someone like that difficult to love, or just in those difficult situations where you're strained in your relationships? The Bible says this, and I want to speak to first the husbands, and I'll just stay there. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Men, you are to love your wives. It doesn't say when she's being lovely, when she's making you happy, when she's cooking good food. It doesn't say that. There's no condition on this at all. It says love your wife. And you have to make that choice, guys. Make that choice. And keep the commitment that you made to God to love your wife, even when it's difficult to do that. Same with your kids, guys. And again, I speak as a man just knowing how that works. Women, you're the same way. There are times when your kids just frustrate you and they make it difficult to love. But God says, love your kids. You do this. It's your commitment. Don't pull away when they fight you or when they grow distant. We need to learn to grow closer to them, and we need to step up to the plate and love our kids. It's going to happen at times in your life, and you all know this situation. When it's strained, you need to take that step and love them, because that's what Christ would do in those situations. Don't treat them like an enemy. They're not. We made a commitment to our family, and we need to love those God has given us. Friday, I was out for a walk in the morning, and I was walking around the neighborhood, and it starts out dark, and by the time you get done, it's getting light, but as I was coming back, there was a lady along on the route, that she's a friend of ours in the neighborhood, and she stopped me, and we talked for a few minutes. Her mom had passed away. She had just turned 100 years old, and so she'd seen a long life, and she was a believer, and so we rejoiced that her mother is done suffering and with the Lord in heaven. But yet she'll miss her. For a while, her mom had been able to stay with them in the house and be able to take care of her. And that was their responsibility, and they wanted to commit to do that. Until the mother was having trouble falling, and it was getting difficult to help with this mother. And so they loved us and cared for her as long as they could until they had to take her and put her into a home. And that has to be difficult, and some of you have gone through that before. It was just becoming too much of a risk. And so we all do everything we can sometimes, but our limited bodies, our limited strength, they sometimes wear out, don't they? Unlike God, he never, ever wears out. We have a God who never wears out. And the amazing part of that is that we're the ones falling all the time. And he always comes along and picks us up again. We're the ones falling in our sins, in our nature. We're just, sometimes we do things and we just smack our heads and why did I do that? And yet God comes along and picks us up again. He chooses to love and care for us. God never ends. It says in this verse 8 that he keeps the oath he swore. God made an oath to these people. In verse 9, it says, the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps his covenant. Look at that phrase, the Lord your God is God. Here, the Lord is a translation of his name, Yahweh. God is a God. That's a way to say that Your God is the one real God. There is no other. The Lord your God is God. It's also a way of picturing his character, that power. When we think of God, we think of the power, the authority, his absolute perfection. He doesn't grow tired. He doesn't worry that he can't help us anymore. And he's unchanging and unmoved when we fall. Just like in 1 John, we've gone through this, and it's had several phrases where it says that he is light and he is love. You could also say that he is faithfulness. He never fails. He's the personification of faithfulness. And it's the standard we're supposed to pursue as well, being faithful. There are times when we get tired. If you're like me, you just get tired of doing the same thing over and over, especially if you're helping someone that's difficult to love. We need to remember we made a promise, and when we're tired, we need God's help to get through that. Ask God for help when you're getting tired. When those that we're helping don't show gratitude, and what we might consider maybe they're not worth the time and the effort and the energy we're spending on this person, that's when we need some help to love as God loves. We need to remember our example. If we're to say we're followers of Christ, then we need to follow the example of Christ. Amen? If we're truly followers of Jesus Christ, if you're a follower of someone, what that means is that you are emulating what they do and you're becoming his image. And if we're going to do that, we need to follow his example. We've seen time and time and again where Jesus picked it up again. He waded right into the crowds that were pretty rude and sometimes very hateful and ungrateful to him. He waded right in there and loved them. But he always did it to fulfill the will of the Father to the end. And he didn't do it grudgingly or complaining, but in patient love. He was tired. He was just like us. There were times and they'd wake him up and say that there's someone who needs to be helped. And he would get up and he would help them. That was our Jesus. He continued to faithfully get up every day and pursue these wandering sheep. That's what we're called, wandering sheep. In fact, he called himself the good shepherd of those wandering sheep. He tends a bunch of messy, ungrateful sheep like us. In John 10:11 says, Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. In verse 18, it says, "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord." And he chose to love us and keep his promise. Romans 5:8 reminds us of this, that we're sinners, and Christ died for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us, condemned to go to a place called hell, a real place. God chose to set his love on us. He made a covenant with us, a promise, that while we were still sinners, he would die for us. Well, that's a good example, isn't it? But how are we to show that kind of love to others? I want to take you over to Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 to 14. Colossians 3. As we're considering how do we love as God loves, as Christ loves, and he set us that pattern, how do we do this? How do we accomplish this? This is the difficult part. We understand it from 1 John that we are to love and abide in Christ. And sometimes that can sound a little bit ethereal, trying to understand how do we apply that in our life. And Colossians 3 does a good job here of describing it in a way. Verse 12 says, "Put on then as God's chosen ones," there it is again, you're his chosen, "holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving another, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. First of all, to put on holiness. In this, Paul reminds us that we are to take off the old man, that old selfish person that has no part in Christ, and put on his character. We have to change what we look like, in other words. We take off the old man and put on Christ and all of these attributes. We have to change our mindset. We have to change our perspective. In fact, the chapter starts in verse 1. If you go back up to verse 1, and I think this will be on the screen behind us here in Colossians 3. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God, and set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, these earthly things. And it goes on and lists all kinds of things in that chapter. But anger and malice, all those things are part of that list. And so you have to put aside those things. Put them to death, in other words. Things that are dead should not be resurrected. Those things should not be part of you anymore. We start by getting rid of those things, taking them off. And then put on the righteousness of Christ. We should not be the same people we were when we came to Christ. If you look back in the last few years of your relationship with Christ and you don't see a change, you might need to take some introspection and see, am I willing to change and be more like Christ? And that might step on some of your feet right now if you consider that. But if you're not changing and growing in Christ, today is the day you can start doing that. To become more holy and set your mind on those things that are above and put those things to death. In verse 12, notice this in Colossians, that we are his chosen ones and loved, just like the nation of Israel. And just like the nation of Israel, we're to be holy people, just like them. And it doesn't say, again, that he chose and loved us to the exclusion of everyone else in the world. He loves everyone. But we're to be set apart, just like the nation of Israel, unique from the rest of the world. And one of those ways that we're unique is putting on those attributes of God, which, by the way, are a reflection of his character and what he looks like. Notice in verse 12, he lists out mostly things we're called to do when we don't want to. If you're like me, some of these things come up and I just don't want to do this. Let's look at it. When it's hard. Compassion? It's hard to have compassion on some people when they don't show that gratitude. Or when you've done this over and over again and you're just getting tired of showing compassion. You become weary. Kindness? That's another difficult one, just showing kindness. Humility. This is when you serve even though that person you're serving is ungrateful. You serve them anyway, and you love them. Patience? Patience, and bearing one another. And patience, hurry up and give me patience, because I don't like this situation. So you get the idea here, is that these are attributes that God needs us to put on in order to love and care for other people. We need to show compassion. Jesus showed compassion for people who were about to kill him on the cross. He showed kindness and care for those people around him. There have been times in my life, obviously, this week, when I was not willing to be kind or showing compassion to other people. Just thinking of driving around town here, these roundabouts sometimes get to me because people don't know how to use roundabouts in our town. And I drive up to a roundabout and there's a person over here and I'm waiting for them to go through and they just don't know how to do it. And I go and then they're stuttering and we're trying to figure out everything. And I get mad at them. Why do I get mad at them? And they can't even understand. They don't even know who I am. And it's probably just going to stew on me, not them. So you're laughing because you do the same thing, don't you? Four-way stops are difficult too. You all come up there at the same time and you just yell at the other person, somebody go. No compassion, no kindness, no humility. I'm just going to go because if I go, you're going to stop. So I'll just get through there. Those are tough moments. But take it home again. Take it to your kids. Take it to your husband. Take it to your wife and see where that fits. When is it difficult to show compassion and humility, kindness? And ask God to help you with that. Verse 13 speaks the word here that forgiveness. I have an entire sermon in my head that I want to do on this at some point. Forgiveness, it's hard to forgive. But we have to choose to forgive. That's part of loving in those difficult situations. We just choose to forgive. So choosing to love is really a conscious action that we have to do. It takes effort, even though you might not want to do it, and you might have a hard time right now figuring out how do I start. Well, the good news is there's a way. Jesus Christ gave us a way to start. And you're in a situation right now, or you will be in a situation when it's going to be tough to love someone. And it's going to be tough to have that compassion that Jesus calls us to. You're going to struggle. You're going to have distance between you and someone. And the good news is there is a way. There's a way to show love. When you get up in the morning, start by putting on love. Verse 14. Above all these, put on love. All these other things that we can put on, it has to be enveloped with love. We can show kindness just because we're showing kindness, but you need to put on love. And I say get up in the morning because sometimes that's when we need to start. Our minds are already racing to the next thing. Ask God, help me today to start by putting on love. And in the middle of the day, when we're busy and we're running in different directions and our mind is completely gone from those things in the morning, there are opportunities right there when we're getting to that intersection and something's gonna causes that anger, stop. Ask God, help me, put on love. When that situation comes up in your family in the evening, when you're tempted to make that sarcastic response to someone, when you're getting angry about something that's not going your way, you need to pause, ask God, help me, to put on love. This is a perfect situation when you can show the compassion that Christ has. And then we'll see what God can do. Those are the tough situations. Again, we see it. It's easy to love when those around us are lovely. Those situations when we're struggling, and I know some of you have, and you still are right now, struggling. How do I love this person? How do I show compassion? How do I show kindness and humility? You need to choose. Just as God chose the nation of Israel, and just as God chose to love you, that wandering, messy sheep that you are and I am, choose to love that person and put on love. We need to set our minds on things above and really understand what's important in this situation. And kill that earthly thought that we're trying to have our way. And then going back to 1 John, and we're going to go back there next week and listen more about how God wants us to love. It's abiding in the one who is love. And abiding in him means that we need to spend time with him and begin to act like him and to show love as he shows. You remember I said that Jesus loved the high priest. What happened in the garden with the high priest? There was one who cut off the ear of the high priest, trying to protect Christ. In his love for Christ, in his protection of Christ, he cut off the ear of the high priest. And what did Jesus do? He had compassion for the high priest who was about to put him on a cross. Talk about a person who would be unlovely to love. And Jesus healed his ear. He chose to love him despite what this high priest was about to do to him. And that's our standard as Christians. So what situations are you in? Can you start today to begin to love in those situations and love as Christ loves them? What's challenging you right now? Ask yourself this question, and maybe you're just avoiding this person because you don't want to talk to them and you don't want to love them. Ask God to help you and pray, and we're going to pause and pray about this in just a moment. In fact, a communion in a few minutes, this is a perfect situation where you can come to Christ with this and ask God for forgiveness for that person and to start loving the other person as Christ loved you. What can you start doing today? Let's pray. Our Father, we are so grateful, Lord, that you chose to love us. God, as those songs spoke of your great love for us, that the scars, again, I'm so grateful for those scars on your hands and feet that speaks of how much you loved us. And those scars speak of my sin, that despite my own sin, you allowed yourself to go to that cross and to stay there for me. God, thank you so much for that, for taking that punishment on the cross for me. God, help me to look around at those around me that you've placed in my own family, in those situations through the week, God, that you will bring up and allow to bring up, that challenge my desire to love. God, help me in those moments to put on love and to show Christ. And thank you, Lord, that we can rejoice, God, that you have forgiven us and that you love us. Father, you are so good. And it's my prayer today, Lord, that there's people here who are thinking about things that they need to make a change in their life. God, that you would do that in their hearts today. God, if there's someone here who does not even know Jesus Christ, who have not placed their faith in them, that you would soften their heart today and help them to understand that you died for them. For them. God, that you personally died for that soul who was lost and you love them so much. Thank you, Lord, that you've put these things into my heart to give. God, that you would encourage those here today who need encouragement. God, that you would help us to change to be more like Jesus Christ, the one I serve, the one I believe, and the one I put my hope in. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.